Letters.
On Britain's refugee policy, Reform UK, transmission markets, San Marino, and Taylor Swift.
Britain's island mentality.
From F.R. van der Mensbrugge, professor at the University of Leuven in Brussels. Britain's migrant policy and the decision to adopt legislation that is avowedly incompatible with the European Convention on Human Rights highlights a blindsided totemic deference to parliamentary sovereignty. Article The Buck Stops Way Over There, April 15th. Assuredly, Lord Hoffman could write in 1999 that parliamentary sovereignty means that Parliament can, if it chooses, legislate contrary to fundamental principles of human rights. The Human Rights Act, 1998, will not detract from this power. The problem, nevertheless, goes beyond Tory obsession with parliamentary sovereignty, take back control, and the ECHR. As pointed out in the Supreme Court's unanimous ruling of November 15, 2023, due consideration must be given to other instruments of international law, for example the 1951 Refugee Convention, as well as domestic law, the Nationality, Immigration and Asylum Act. When unwrapping the legal niceties of the Safety of Rwanda Bill, we are left with legal fiction. Rwanda is safe, and a desperate gamble to save the day at the next general election. What remains are inevitable legal challenges and the country's reputation as a champion of the international rule of law lying in tatters. John Donne famously wrote, "No man is an island. Britain, an island, is embedded in a sea of international norms that it entered into of its own volition. Britain cannot go it alone." Its migrant policy and the plight of tens of thousands of asylum seekers depends on compliance with the rules it willingly agreed to.
Reform PLC.
From David Holland, Brighton. Badgett underestimates the strangeness of the Reform UK party, Article April 27th. It is not a membership association, but a private limited company. Nigel Farage owns 53% of the shares. He could thus sell his controlling interest in the party to anyone who cared to buy them.
Electric markets.
From Paul Sissio, Chair, Electricity Transmission Competition Coalition, Washington, D.C. I have worked in American energy policy for decades and was enthused to see your coverage of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which oversees the interstate transmission of energy, article What the FERC, April 27th. The article didn't capture the importance of the final rule set to be released by the FERC on May 13th, the most significant decision the agency will make for a generation. At the heart of the issue is competitive markets versus monopoly power. The Economist routinely points out that free and fair markets deliver better outcomes for consumers. Transmission lines are no different. A study by Princeton University found that America will need to spend $2.5 trillion on additional capital investment by 2050 to reach its net zero goals. Competitive bidding can lead to savings of 40%. If all new transmission projects were competitively bid, ratepayers could save an estimated $840 billion by 2050. If the FERC fails to embrace competition in its proposed rule, ratepayers and their wallets will feel the effects of the clean energy transition for decades to come. This is a clear example of how free markets give consumers better outcomes. The FERC must endorse competition, and so should The Economist.
San Marino and Ukraine.
From Professor Maurizio Bragagni, Consul for San Marino, London. I want to address recent speculation regarding San Marino's foreign policy, article A Weak Link, April 27th. Misconceptions circulate about our nation's position on various international matters, particularly concerning our relationship with Russia and our support for Ukraine. I want to emphasise that San Marino is an independent nation with its own foreign policy principles. It has consistently demonstrated its commitment to upholding international law, promoting peace and supporting all countries' sovereignty and territorial integrity, including Ukraine. San Marino has taken concrete action to demonstrate solidarity with Ukraine and condemn Russia's belligerence. We have unequivocally supported measures to counter Russian aggression, including voting in favour of sanctions against Russia and supporting initiatives to increase support for Ukraine, such as further paid-in capital for the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development. San Marino has engaged in diplomatic efforts to tackle the crisis and has aligned itself with the European Union and other partners in calling for the immediate withdrawal of Russian troops from Ukrainian territory and a peaceful resolution to the conflict. I want to assure you that San Marino remains steadfast in its dedication to promoting peace, stability, and respect for the sovereignty of all nations.
Bad blood.
From Annika Chopra, Edinburgh. You are wrong to ask, has Taylor Swift peaked? Article April 27th. As an 11-year-old British Swiftie, I think Ms. Swift's new album continues her tradition of eras, or moods for non-Swifties. Most of the songs on any of her albums have the same beat and feel. Fearless is upbeat, whereas Folklore is more melancholy. In the same vein, songs on the Tortured Poets department are intentionally samey. Having said all this, I still can't persuade my dad to pay for an Eras tour ticket when she comes to town.
From Charlotte Sadler, London. You claim that Ms. Swift is boasting when she sings she is so productive it's an art. You then use this to argue that she should have employed more selective editing on her album. However, the full line from I can't do it with a broken heart is actually I cry a lot but I am so productive, it's an art. Perhaps the album could have used more editing, but surely Ms. Swift is not boasting and is instead using dry wit to express how she balanced her heartbreak with her writing output.
From Sophia Margot, Jersey City, New Jersey. I was enraged when I read your article. Peaked is a little much, no? What's more, mournful without being memorable is not true in the slightest. I am literally humming Who's Afraid of Little Old Me as I write this. Jarringly immature and unimaginative rhymes? Is that really what you want to say to your youngest generation of readers? If you wanted me dead, you should have just said.
From Alan Whitworth, London. Taylor Swift peaking by the age of 34 would be no surprise. None of the greats from the 1960s and 1970s, the Beatles, Bob Dylan, Rolling Stones, Joni Mitchell, Neil Young and so on, produced music of the highest quality beyond their mid-30s. Although they continued to record songs and sell albums, their most creative periods had passed.
From Gavin Maitland, Boston. Through the lens of longevity and popularity, Ms. Swift has no equal. More than half of Americans admit to being a fan. She released her first album in 2006 and her triumphant Eras tour is still going. She overshadows the Beatles by almost every performance measure. Readers are simply asking, why you gotta be so mean?